Thank you for listening. This is The Road Best Traveled.
My name is Sretton.
My name is Greg.
Genesis.
The topic this week is, how does a person begin? Nutritionally, with food, with planning, with diaries, with small steps. What advice would you give to somebody that maybe has failed a bunch of times, or I don't know, or is discouraged to go to the gym, or somebody that's been away from it for a long time? Last week, I think one of the biggest things that we talked about that I took away from it was the no pain, no gain thing, and how it's not kind of a fallacy, but for most people it is a fallacy, because if you do no pain, no gain, so you go what they say 110% every workout, then either you're too sore or you're too much pain or you just don't perform as well as you could have. One of the first times I worked out with Genesis a couple months ago, he told me about you can't hit a lot of the weight hard because you're literally, your bones aren't used to it. So you actually have to build up the amount of stress that your bones can take. So I don't know where you guys want to start as far as, do you want to go with food first? Is it good to plan your macro and micronutrients? Is it good to plan out how many carbs and protein you're going to take and fat? I want to start off with telling people, if you're going to start, because one of the main points of this show is to encourage people to start or keep doing what they're doing or improve on what they're doing. Like I said, I'm a big fan of constant self-analysis or constant analysis for improvement. Because there's, what would you say to somebody? Grab a notebook?
I think it kind of just depends on what your level is. So like, let's say if you don't know anything about nutrition, start out slow. Like, the whole point of this is to make a lifestyle change and not just, hey, you know, I hit it hard for a month or 2 months and I started seeing results, but then I couldn't keep up with it because it was just intrusive into your lifestyle. So like, small steps. So if you don't know anything about nutrition, I would just say, you know, I mean, you can grab a notebook or, I mean, there's so many apps now where you can. I'm a big proponent of either counting calories or macro or macronutrients in what's called If It Fits Your Macros, is like the diet plan, or, you know, the name of this way of eating, but small steps. Like, right. So, you know, somebody might say, you know, like if you're sitting there and you eat 10 pizzas a day, like I would say a small step is eating 9 pizzas a day. As right. bad as that sounds, like, yeah, man, that's still a lot of pizza, but you're making progress. Like, you just took a step forward.
Right.
So I think that's kind of just small progress. So like, if you don't know anything about nutrition, you know, you can grab a notebook or, you know, an app on your phone or a website, something, you know, could be free or you could pay for it, whatever you want to do, but just something small. Just get an idea of how many calories you're consuming a day. You don't even have to change anything. Just log what you normally eat, you know, for a couple weeks. Just get an idea of maybe your total caloric intake for the week. Do that for 2 weeks. Just get an idea. Once you get that number, if you want to gain weight, like let's say, you know, you want to put on muscle, if you know you're overweight and you want to lose weight, then you start to tinker with it. So like if you're underweight, you know, you really only want to add in maybe, I don't know, about 100 calories, because you don't want to add in, you know, 1,000 calories and then put on, you know, a pound, or would that be, that'd be 2 pounds a week. That, you know, that's just too much weight. You're not going to put on the right weight. You know, mm-hmm. You're going to put on a lot of body fat instead of muscle. But you know, if you want to lose weight, maybe about 500 calories a day. That just from food will lose you 1 pound a week. You start to add an exercise, it'll start to add up. Mm-hmm. You kind of want to be in, some people say like 1% of your body weight. So like if you weigh 200 pounds, you should be losing about 2 pounds a week. You know, mm-hmm. If you weigh 180 and you want to lose weight, you should lose about 1.8 pounds a week. Yeah. You know, things like that. Just like 1% of your body weight a week is just kind of a good rule of thumb, or just 1 to 3 pounds.
I think a big deal too is what you said, like with the, you have to realize that what you're doing is going to be a lifestyle change. This is right. The way you're going to do it. It's not going to be like a before and after picture like you see on TV and right. like magazines and stuff, where, you know, somebody, they worked out hard for 3 months, they magically look amazing, and before they looked terrible. Oh, it is a lifestyle change. Oh, I can't, like, it's not good if I stop at a gas station and get a couple cookies every day in the morning with my coffee. Like, there is an impatience. Like, you, if you decide you're going to do something, you have to be patient. Right. One of the things we talked about also last week was about how, like Genesis talked about how it might take him a year to put 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds on his bench. And he knows that's 365 days. How many workouts is that? That's probably around a minimum of 300 workouts if he's as dedicated as, you know, a lot of people are. That's 300 fucking workouts.
Yeah.
And that's 300 times where you're tired. There is an impatience for a lot of people where they're like, I need to lose weight now because I feel like shit now, and I am tired now, and I have, you know, inflammation.
And I think that's just like, you know, that those small steps. Because if you do, let's say if you try to take a big leap, right? You know, you eat nothing but junk food all day, and you try to go on like a fruit and salad or a fruit and vegetable diet. You never eat fruits any day. You're like, you don't eat fruits, you don't eat vegetables, and then all of a sudden you're eating mass quantities and nothing else the rest of the day. And then let's say if your weight loss is still into that 1 to 3 pounds a week, and you're like, man, you know, I'm doing this, I'm straining myself to reach this, and it's been 2 weeks and I've only lost, you know, 2 pounds, like, it's not worth it.
Right.
Whereas if you make those small steps, you're going to notice a change because you are changing some things. You're eating, you know, whether it's less food or just more nutrient dense food or whatever it is. You make those small changes and it's not as big of a deal. You're like, yeah, maybe I didn't lose as much weight as I wanted to, but, you know, like, it's not a grind for me to get through the day. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you try to make that big leap and just do, you know, clean eating or paleo or keto or, you know, whatever it is, and it's a big leap for you, then, you know, you're not going to sustain it. Right. Even if you are losing weight, even if you're making, you know, better progress than you thought you would, at some point, it's still a strain on you.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying, like, you shouldn't do paleo or you shouldn't do keto. Like, if it's something that you like and you can sustain, then, like, that's great. Do it. But you just don't want to put... I mean, I think the whole, like, thing of the show of, like, no pain, no gain, like, I think that's a great title for this because it does apply to nutrition, too, mm-hmm. In terms of it's wrong. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like, oh, you know, if you're not struggling to keep with your diet, you're not going to make any progress. Like, that's not true. Like, you can make little adjustments and make your progress. And the reason why I also bring up the lifestyle factor too is that you don't want exercise and nutrition to get in the way of how you live your life. And I don't necessarily mean like, oh, you can't stop at the gas station and get your cookies anymore.
Right.
I mean, you know, like if your friends go out to watch a game or something like that, oh, hey, you know, we're going to go to, you know, get wings at the, you know, at a restaurant or something like that, watch a football game. You don't want to be like, no, I can't go because I have to eat my salad. You could be like, oh, hey, you know, my friends usually go out to watch, you know, a sporting event on Thursdays. So I'm going to eat, you know, less calories early in the day. That way I have more room to eat at night and I can still go out and enjoy the night with my friends.
Right.
You know, so like you want to have something that you can not ruin your life with. You don't want to be, you know, oh, I lost all my friends because I can't go out and eat with them. I can't go out and drink with them.
Because of these stupid salads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So just small, you know. Small steps, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But like I said, just somewhere, if you're trying to lose weight, just slightly reduce calories.
Right. You know, and we're talking to beginners because it does seem like if somebody cuts out sugar or somebody cuts out beer or somebody cuts out these things and say you do, your friends know. Say you find out you have a gluten allergy or whatever and your friends know. For the next like 5 to 10 times you hang out or you do something social or you're with family, they're going to be like, well, come on. And you're going to feel bad and you're going to want to have that beer and you're going to, but
yeah.
Every time you say no, every time you stop yourself, it'll be that much easier the next time. And before you know it, an example is I have two brothers. My one brother does have a gluten allergy and he hasn't had a beer. He's a big beer drinker and he hasn't had a beer in, I think, almost 7 years.
Yeah.
And it was tough for him at first. Not because he's an alcoholic, just because that's how he attached everything. Like
right.
when that's he went out with his buddies, with most families, he eat a lot of bread, and that was difficult too. But now he eats, you know, he cooks his own food. He goes to restaurants. He knows exactly what to do. And that suffering, it was temporary. You know, it sucked for a little bit, but it ended up being okay. And he did, like you said, he went slow, but then at one point he just was like he did slow for like a year, cut certain things out, tested, did all that. And then at some point he got disciplined enough and he was strong enough mentally that he's just like, nope, I'm going all in. And then it just was easy. You have to build up and then eventually you can take a leap or just keep picking away at certain things. And next thing you know, say a year from now, you've made a ton of progress. 2 years from now, you've made even more progress. I mean, I always get impressed when I talk to Genesis about his whole journey to getting to powerlifting. In regards to food, in regards to supplementation and all that, he really did. Like, if you were to tell somebody, listen, man, you're going to be able to bench 400 pounds. Cool. Like, 3 months from now? No. 8 years from now, you're going to be able to bench 400 pounds.
Right.
Most people you talk to are going to be like, fuck that. But he did it. And he's probably one of the least injury-prone people that I know. And I attribute that to the amount of powerlifting he does. and what he puts in his body. You know what I'm saying? Whereas when you talk to me, I'll talk about my toes fucked up, my ankles messed up, I got stomach problems. Being in the Midwest, where the majority of us are overweight and unhealthy and don't sleep enough, but everybody has a I blew up the bathroom story. You're not supposed to blow up the bathroom. You're supposed to take a quick dump and get the fuck out of there. But most people are like, oh man, like I read 3 of the Harry Potter books while taking a shit. Like that's far too much time in the bathroom. What would you say, Genesis? Right now we're talking about nutrition and stuff. So we could talk about vitamins too. And Greg, interrupt me for sure, because I'm...
Let me just, like, and basically in summation is just, you know, you brought up food prepping too, but just everything, just like, just nice and slow, nice and easy. You don't have to go 100% into it. You don't have to prepack your meals for the week, but just maybe cooking like enough healthy food to last you like 2 days. Yeah. That way when you get home from work, something's already cooked. That way you can't, you know, maybe do it on a Sunday, or, you know, if you're off on Monday, or, you know, whatever day you're off. Do it then, you know, prepare your food for like 2 days. You know, you don't even have to package it and bring it with you. Just something when you get home, you can't use the excuse like, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to cook. You know, like food's already there for you.
Right.
Yeah. Slow fat. I'll let Genesis go.
What I would do in regards to that is I would tell people when my wife would cook dinner, my thing is I always saved enough for the next day. So if I had a steak, you know, a nice big juicy steak, I always make sure I had a fourth of it save for the next day. So the next day starting out, I already knew I had a planned meal. I wouldn't eat all of it. I would still be full, but that's just what's my slow step approach as far as the meal prep. And that's before we got on the same page and I did the expanding it, and we decided on Sunday cook 3 meals and then go from there. But back to the whole nutrition part, I'm not a nutritional guru. All the stuff I've learned is all recent. But one of the things I tell people, as far as being patient, like for me, my biggest thing was pop soda. So I went from the best invention in the world to me was a 3-liter. I would smash a 3-liter. Easy. You know, that's just how I was. Anytime I went out to eat, a pop. Not water. So I knew that was something I needed to get rid of. So baby steps. So where did I start at? I started with, when I went out to eat, I didn't order soda. And that's where I started at. So I saved myself $2-3, and that's the way I looked at it. And that was my baby step. So my advice to people when it comes to being patient or nutrition is take something that you know is hurting you and slowly cut it out. Like I used to drink. I don't drink as much as I used to. But people at work think, I don't drink. Do I drink now? Occasionally, I drink, but I don't like just totally didn't cut it out for years. It's just I went through a stretch where drinking was giving me heartburn, and I kept drinking. Every night, I was like, what is this weird chest pain? And then I finally realized after a week in a row, it was heartburn. So I had to stop drinking because heartburn hurts like a mother. It really hurts. Yeah. So I cut out drinking, and it stopped, and I got used to it. I stopped drinking dark liquor, a lot of stuff. But yeah, do I occasionally have a drink? Yeah. But I know it's not every night. I don't go out to bars, and not there's anything wrong with it. I'll go out to a bar occasionally and have a drink, but I cut it out and I got results.
And that kind of proves the point too, is like, you know, no pain, no gain, like being wrong is like, he didn't just completely give up drinking, you know, just cut back. Basically that's with everything, is just moderation. You know, you can eat a piece of cake, but if you eat the whole cake, of course it's bad for you. But if you have a little piece, or, you know, you have a little treat once, twice a week instead of every single day or after every meal, you know, having a dessert after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like, yeah, that's bad for you. But if you have, you know, Sunday night or Friday night, you eat a big meal and you have, you know, some dessert, like, that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But it's just moderation. Cut back a little bit.
Yeah.
Make it manageable.
I tell people at work all the time, that I have fun with the guys at work because I love when everybody, they'll look at me and we'll be talking. They'll say, well, how much do you weigh, Jen? And then I'll tell them. My weight can fluctuate anywhere from 210 to 220. I go with the higher. I tell people I'm about 220. And their face just drops because, what? I weigh the same as you. No way. I'm like, yeah, you got to realize we're a different type of 220. That's just that's just how it is. And, you know, people ask me, advice and questions. What, you know, what should I do? Losing weight, this and that. Because at one point I did lose weight. I, you know, I went from 240, dropped down all the way to about 207. Then I got back up to 220. That's just where I feel most comfortable at. But what I would tell people advice for when you're losing weight is don't focus on the number on the scale. Yes, you can see where you're at. But my best thing is let other people judge. They'll let you know. When you lose weight, somebody say, man, you losing weight? Or, you know, let your clothes, let other things let you know. Because you can lose weight and it can be from somewhere. It's not going to always be where you want it to be. It's not going to always be in your stomach or your leg. Everybody holds weight differently in different places.
Right.
And it doesn't take a, like, I'm not a nutritional guru. I know how to take heavy things and move it from one place to another. So far as nutrition, I'm not, you know, as seasoned as most, but I do know when my pants fit better 1 month to the next. I mean, I do know when somebody at work sees you and they say, wow, you're losing weight. They're not making that up. They're not, nobody at work is trying to impress, you know. We're there just, you know, we go to work to give each other shit. So if somebody say, wow, I look like you're losing weight, you're losing weight, and let that determine. Because if you look at the scale and you're only losing a pound a week, I mean, you're going to be like, man, what's this? Well, guess what? That's what it takes. A pound a week, 2 pounds a week is, that's outstanding. When you break it down and you find out what goes into it, and most people don't realize that.
And I'm kind of glad you brought up the, you know, when things start fitting better, or, you know, people start noticing. Because that's a big thing too, you know, like you can't just always look at the scale. I mean, the best time to weigh yourself is in the morning after you wake up. If you have to use the bathroom, use the bathroom. But weigh yourself, because that's going to be your most consistent weight. You could say, oh, I'm going to weigh myself at noon every day. Well, if today you were off and you slept in until 10, 11, you're going to weigh less because you didn't have a chance to eat anything, you know, before you weighed in. Tomorrow you get up at 6 a.m., you have breakfast, maybe even lunch before you weigh yourself, you know, a bunch of liquids, you're going to be more. You know what I'm saying? Like, so always wake up and then weigh yourself, because that's going to be your most truest weight.
Mm-hmm.
But weight loss isn't always linear. So you could, you know, do everything perfect today, work out, eat perfect, step on the scale, and, you know, let's say you're 200 pounds, you wake up at 199 tomorrow. You do the same thing tomorrow, and then you wake up at like 199.5. You're like, well, what the hell? I just did the same exact thing.
Right.
It's just, you know, maybe you didn't get as much sleep. Maybe, you know, you drank a bunch of water before you went to bed, and it's just water weight fluctuation, right, right. You know, things like that. So, you know, you don't always have to take the scale and the number to be true. You got to look to other things too. You know, like, hey, my clothes are fitting better. You know, I'm only down like 4 pounds and yeah. I've been at this for 4 weeks. I thought I'd be down more, but hey, my clothes are fitting a little better.
That's somebody a really noticed. Good point about it not being linear.
Yeah. And then, you know, two, there might be a day where you wake up and you're like, man, I'm looking lean. You know, I feel like I can see my upper abs coming in or something like that. And then you step on the scale and you didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there could be one day where you wake up and you're like, man, I kind of look like shit today. But then you step on the scale and you're down a pound and a half. You know, so you just don't know. So, like, you got to kind of look to, you know, a couple different avenues to keep that motivation going.
Right, right.
So it can't just be what the scale says, or it can't just be how you look in the morning, or just how your clothes fit either. You know, like, but those are the avenues. So, like, you know, if you wake up and you're like, man, I look like shit. You step on the scale. I didn't lose any weight. Put your pants on, they feel a little bit better. You're like, well, hey, that's still a win. You know, right. That's one out of three. You know, so that's right. Kind of some avenues to kind of look at to keep that positive progression going.
Yeah, that's so true. Twice this year, I had a vacation, and most people, they splurge or they gain weight, you're out of your element. Twice I came back, I lost weight on vacation. So, I mean, you never. I just knew when I came back, I figured, you know, I gained 5-10 pounds. I was out of my element. I want to eat it. And it turned out I was so much out of my element with my food and not having to be able to prepare it that I don't know if my body panicked. I don't know what happened. But I found myself standing in Walmart buying stuff that I haven't bought in years, Doritos, Oreos, because I had no clue, what am I going to eat? I'm on vacation. I'm not at home. I can't have my food cooked like I wanted to. And then when I got back and I had real food, just wings or just whatever we had, I was fine. I was hungry. That's all it was. I was hungry. And I thought that I splurged on vacation, and I really didn't. And I came back, and I, you know, I lost a little weight. I kind of stayed around where I was, but I was just knew I gained 10 pounds. But like I said, you know, the weight's linear. That's what I was looking for. But yeah, that was good. That's good. That's true.
Yeah, I find that if you stick with it long term, eventually what you consider splurging also changes quite a bit. So
right.
I'm in that camp where when I look at other people, like I am overweight. I'm considered morbidly obese, I think, by doctor standards. If you look at...
I don't like the BMI, so I don't take that to heart. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to give a like a picture, if you visualize what I... Like if somebody's listening and they possibly visualize what I look like, whether that's like a real thing, I don't... What I'm actually trying to do is describe people that are really, really big and fat, or just really, really like don't have a lot of muscular definition, all that stuff. What I can say, it's not for everyone, but it's for a lot of them. I assume that they have the same eating habits that I do and sleeping habits and all that stuff. And I know what I can do. I can knock out a couple of milkshakes and like 10 to 15 burgers at White Castle. Like I can knock out, I can go to McDonald's and get a number two and a number four. I can go to Wendy's and get two meals. Like I can eat like a pig. And to me, that's splurging. To me, that's, or like you said, like nine pizzas. I can probably eat a ton of pizza. To me, that's splurging. When you get into a healthy lifestyle and mindset, then your definition of splurging changes. So if you're eating really clean for like 6 months or a year, and you try to go back to that old way of eating, you will get sick. You will get buzzed off of eating too much sugar. You will get headaches and your vision will get like all this crazy stuff will happen because your body's like, no, man. And what you'll also realize is that that was your normal before. Feeling like crap was your normal before. Having brain fog was your normal before. And now you have a new normal. And your new normal says that when you look at those foods, I mean, certain sugars you'll always crave because it's just chemistry, and unfortunately, it's just how it is. But for the most part, you're going to make better nutritional decisions, and your idea of splurging is to maybe get like something with shrimp and more sauce than usual, or like occasionally get spaghetti, but you'll get it with a ton of veggies in it or something, where it'll just be a different kind of splurging because you know what your body craves and you know how you are. And you know how you feel. You're not going to be pounding Oreo cookies and Doritos and dipping them in cheese and all this other stuff because that's not what you crave anymore. But you just have to kind of suffer the change for a while. And like you said, small steps, small steps, small steps. Eventually you'll get somewhere far. And tonight's topic, the conversation is just advice on where to start. We'll also talk about where you go when you're in the middle of it. And I feel like everybody's in the middle of it. Nobody's at the tail end of it. Like, you're in the middle of it, now what? When do you start to supplement? When do you take vitamins? I think if you can do it, because vitamins to me, high quality, like good vitamins, they're expensive, man. And it's an expense that just, I don't think most people want to cut out certain things and budget for that. Maybe it's an important thing, but it is a big thing to supplement high quality vitamins, which I think I do think it's important. But what's more important is to put a bunch of vegetables into your body, put a bunch of fruit into your body, get enough sleep and move more. That's to me how you begin. When you get to that middle, then you can maybe make certain cuts in your budget or something so you can actually, and for some people, maybe that's not a thing. Like maybe they don't go out much. Maybe they don't do certain things. So it's saying like, hey, guess what? You have your new expense is anywhere, you know, a minimum of like $100 a week to get quality vitamins into your body, like supplemented. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have anything else? Anything else to add nutrition wise or food wise?
I would say try to get at least two fruits in a day, at least two vegetables in a day, at least on top of a multivitamin.
Right.
No, I'm not saying you have to go out and buy like the best multivitamin or whatever, but you know,
but it's a good habit to start.
Yeah, it's a good habit to just take a vitamin in. And like I said, just two servings of fruits, two servings of vegetables, minimum. And it's really not that hard. I mean, there's so many fruits, so many vegetables out there. I don't care if you eat the same ones every day. It's probably better to vary them up so you vary your vitamins and minerals that you're getting in, but just two of each, bare minimum. It's really not that hard.
Right. No, it's not. They even actually make it easy for you. You can go to the store and they do vegetable blends. I mean, I'm not a vegetable person, never have been until I start eating them and realize, wow, I do like Brussels sprouts because it's, you know, combined with something else. That's the story. We do the frozen vegetable blend and that works for me. So I have a steak. As you see, I'm very high on protein. I'm a meat eater.
Yeah.
So I just like to have a vegetable blend with it and have all types of vegetables that I've never heard of. And I eat it. It's not that hard.
Right. For me, the easiest way is like, I in the morning, for the most part, I start my day off with a shake, like throw a scoop of vanilla protein in a blender, put like a banana in there, some strawberries, spinach. So like I knocked out two fruits and a vegetable. And like you can't even taste the spinach.
Super easy. It's super delicious. Super
easy, and it goes down quick. Yeah. It's easy, you know, and I'm not usually not hungry in the morning. Mm-hmm. So just something easy like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's good advice. So we're at the halfway point. Now we want to hit the workout portion of it. I've just been reading tons and tons of articles for years that the best thing to do is if you could work yourself up to like a 45-minute walk 5 days a week, it has all kinds of longevity benefits. It has all kinds of immune system benefits, mental benefits. You actually reconnect certain almost dormant connections in your brain when you go for walks. You are more creative. You enjoy things more. And you, at least for that 45 minutes, you're away from the electronics. You're away from everything buzzing all the time and all that because you need...
Hence the phrase, take a walk. What do they always say when you get heated and you see in a basketball game or you see even in any movies or anything or your parents or what do they say? Calm down. Take a walk. Right. There's a reason behind that saying.
So if you've already done that and you're ready to make that first step, I think if you're intimidated, I think those cardio classes, yoga classes, anything where there's a bunch of people, I think that's also very beneficial to begin. But I also think that going to, like, most places will give you a free consultation with a trainer the first time. I think everybody should be educated for, like, however long one of those sessions takes. Greg, you're obviously more familiar with that.
Right.
But somebody that can go through maybe five major exercises where they can do and just kill the mystery of weightlifting, of strength training. What is a curl? What is a bench? What is a squat? What is a lunge? Those kind of things. Because resistance training is also... there's just so many things that are so beneficial. When you watch the news, like most of us, we get our information from now the internet and the news. And if you're not specifically like fitness minded, or you haven't, you're not in the middle of a trial and error phase of what's good for you, or, you know, you're not a baller, so you're paying for some trainer to tell you exactly what to do, a nutritionist and all that stuff. A lot of people are afraid, and there's still a lot of people that don't understand how important it is to actually resistance train. To lift, not just lift weights, but just lift something that's heavier than your body is used to. They say it's one of the best ways to save your bone density as you get older. Like right. Your bones stay strong or they slow down. I'm not an expert, but
resistance, it'll slow down.
It'll slow down the hollowing of your bones.
Right, right. Or so, the getting brittle.
Basically. Right, getting brittle. We'll go this way. What would you tell somebody that decides? So they've been walking for a while. They feel great. They've lost a little bit of weight, but the biggest benefit is they just feel great. One of the worst things about before you begin your new life as a person that's more fitness-minded and more active is that it's that catch-22. I don't want to get up and I don't want to eat right. Like, I feel like crap, but you feel like crap because you're not putting good food in your body and you're not moving. But so it's like this circle. Right. So once you break the circle and you start walking, you start moving, make a couple small changes with your food, you decide I'm going to the gym. What do you guys tell somebody?
Same thing. Like, just start out slow. You don't have to go in the gym. You don't have to. Biggest thing is check your ego at the door. So many people walk into the gym and like, oh, you know, I'm so tough. You know, like, oh, I can outwork you or I can lift more weight than you. It's like, check your ego at the door. Do the exercise properly. And just same thing. Start out slow. Like, you know, there should be some sort of progression in your workouts. Most places offer that consultation. Take it. It's free. Sure, they might, you know, at the end of it, try and press you into buying some training packages. But just if you don't like it or you don't want to do it or you can't afford it, just say no.
Right.
You know, they're not going to hate you. You know, when I do one, like a consultation, like I try to just inform people. First of all, I just sit them down and ask them what their goals are. You know, like, oh, I'm just trying to, you know, lose a little bit of weight, get a little bit stronger, look a little bit better. And for the most part, that's across the board. That's what everybody wants. But not everybody realizes that resistance training is the best way to get there. Whether you want to do a little bit more bodybuilding style or powerlifting style, resistance training is the only way you're going to get there. Because when you're losing weight, you're going to lose muscle mass. It doesn't matter, you know, even if you're strict on nutrition, perfect on nutrition, you're going to lose some muscle mass. Like, that's just how it happens, how it works. But by doing the resistance training, you're going to maintain as much of that muscle mass as possible. And that's kind of what you want. Like, you know, like, even, you know, a lot of women are like, no, I don't want to lift. You know, I just want to be toned. well, muscle is tone. Muscle is lean. You know, like you're not going to get big and bulky, especially if you're in a caloric deficit. Like if you're losing weight, you will not get bigger unless you're an absolute beginner that's never touched anything in their life. Like you will not put on muscle while you are losing weight unless, you know, you're taking steroids or something like that. But you will not. So like that's going to give you your shape. And then on top of that, just like what's your biggest goal? Like, you know, hey, I really want my arms to look better. Well, then train your arms more often than not. Yep. You know, like people kind of, and this is more a little bit more, I guess, moderate, you know, lifters or I don't know, I don't know if I'd say advanced, but kind of that. So
intermediate.
Yeah. Intermediate. Yeah. That's what I was searching for. you know, they kind of get into this, oh, I got to do chest on Monday, back on Tuesday or however they do it. You know, oh, I got to do push, pull, legs routine, you know, whatever it is. But especially for Genesis, like if, you know, he's going to a powerlifting meet and, you know, he's really happy with his bench, really happy with his deadlift, but he's like, man, you know, my squat's kind of lagging. Well, then start squatting more often. You know, train your legs more often. Like, do what you're trying to achieve more often.
Right.
You know, build up that volume that's going to create the best change.
Right.
But yeah, just for beginners, man, I mean, you could even just stick to machines until you're comfortable going to free weights. Just get your movement patterns down, get like a base level of strength, and just go from there.
I'd like to come back to that part where you said check your ego at the door, where either somebody that's been away from it for a while goes back into it, they think they're tough, or somebody hits it super hard, you are more prone to injury. You have to build your body. Your body needs to know. It needs to adapt. And the body's amazing. It will adapt.
Right.
But that check your ego at the door thing could also be, there's a lot of people that are intimidated when they go to the gym. They think you get in there and you get on the bench or you grab a dumbbell or you go on one of the machines, people are going to laugh at you and point at you and look at you and, you know, whisper behind your back.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's some idiots that do that. Some but for the most part, that. Like, you know,
yeah.
No, like everybody's there because they're not where they want to be, right?
Right.
I mean, you're improving yourself. So right. It doesn't matter where you're starting or what you're doing.
Right.
To be honest, when I'm sitting, like if I'm in the gym, like in between sets and I see somebody walk in and I see them just like, try and go at weight that's way too heavy for them, like in my mind I'm more like, man, just like chill out. Whereas like if I see somebody who's like extremely overweight, you know, if they're curling fives or if they're just sitting on a you know, a bike going super slow, like I don't even think anything of it,
right?
You know, whereas like somebody who's afraid to go into the gym is like, okay, at least, you know, somebody's more out of shape than I am, or you know, tries to lift more weight than somebody standing next to him because you know, I'll fit in better if I could do more weight. Like, no, like everybody can tell, you know, like you are the outlier.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's when you get laughed at, when you, the guy that comes in and sits on the bench or tries to deadlift or try to squat some weight that they know they can't or just think they can, and then they end up falling or they end up getting stuck and you got to help them out. Those are the guys, I'm sorry, I will laugh at them because I'm right there. Why didn't you ask me? Why did you say, hey, let me get a spot or this and that? So that guy that comes in and thinks he can outlift me or wants to lift more than they can, I'm gonna laugh. But that person that may be a little bit overweight or just there, just doing something, or that older person, when I go early in the gym, upstairs the whole gym just machine weights. They have a, you know, senior citizens. They're doing their thing. I respect. They're in. I don't notice them. I know they're up there. They're working out. I expect it. I expect to see them. But that person that comes in, check your ego out the door. If you come in and you're in an instant competition, you're gonna lose that battle. And yes, you're gonna be intimidated because once you fail at trying to be this macho person, then yes, it's gonna be intimidating. Even if those guys usually don't come back. Usually, what happened? You try to do something you're not capable of. You don't do it, and then you kind of hang around the gym a little bit, and then they go to the locker room and they leave. And that's their fault.
And you could injure yourself. Right?
And yeah, I mean, one part of it, you can injure yourself. It's not.
And I just want to, like, there's nothing wrong with failing at the gym. And like, I'm sure Genesis can attest to this.
Oh,
I mean, he's a power lifter. Like, he's trying to lift 100% of the weight he can lift. And sometimes he might overreach a little bit and miss. But there's a difference when, you know, you have a spot and you're doing the exercise properly and you miss the weight, than if you come in and maybe you can only curl 20 pounds, but you grab the 50 pound bar anyways. And then you look like an idiot. You know, like that there's a big difference between those two things. Like, experienced lifters, like, you're going to fail. Or, you know, maybe you get 8 reps, but you really wanted 10. So, you know, you try and grind out 2 more. And sure, form might break down or something like that. But, you know, that's understandable. Whereas if, like, you can't even do one repetition properly.
Yeah, it's conditioning your body. I think I told you straight. And when you come in and you're doing a weight, you're slowly conditioning your body. And I'll tell people when it comes to lifting, I'm not going to go somewhere or come in a day, I'm not going to put this insurmountable weight on the bar and try to lift it when I know my body is just not ready for it. But what I will do, I'll find a middle ground and I'll work my way up there. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put anything in that. I'll push myself. I failed this week. You know, it wasn't in the cards for what I had planned, but I didn't do anything that I can't come back next week and finish.
So just keep at it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times at work, people say, yo, Jen, what can I do to get strong as you? And I'll tell them, well, start from scratch. That's where you got to start at. Or somebody will say, yo, Jen, you know, I start going to the gym. I'm coming for you. I'll tell them, well, we can work out together, because if you're coming for me, you're going to be coming for a long time. You know, I got a little arrogance in that sense, just jokingly. But I'll tell people, they're like, you know, when I get together, when I get, you know, to this way, or when I get it, you know, after a while, we're going to work out together. Why can't we work out now? Man, I ain't trying to do all that weight you doing. I said, all right, this is what's going to happen when you work out me. I go first. I put what I'm going to do on the bar, and it's my turn. We wait, and when it's your turn, we take everything that I put on the bar off, and then we put what you can do on the bar, and we repeat, and we repeat. That's how it is when you work out with me. You don't have to lift a certain weight. You have, you know, it's patience. And I also tell somebody, a beginner, I would say, like we touched on earlier, choose what you want to do. If you want, like I said, I was going to say, if you want bigger arms, then let's get you bigger arms. If you want bigger calves, let's get you bigger calves. I hate when people say I want to be toned, because I have no idea what tone is. That's just, yeah, man, that's the powerlifter speaking to me. But when somebody say, I just want to be in good shape, or I just want to get toned, I'm lost. Like, all right, it's okay to want something. It's okay to say, right, you know what, I want my arms to be big, and just, all right, you can have bigger arms because that's what you want. A couple years ago, maybe last year, I wanted bigger forearms. For some crazy reason, I wanted these big-ass forearms, and you know what I did? We have a forearm machine that I've never seen in any other gym. It's an actual machine with six different forearm functions you can do. I did it every other day, and I have some pretty big ass forearms, but that's what I wanted. It was, you know, and so for a beginner, you have to start from scratch. That's what I say. You have to start from scratch. You have to start from, you know, 5 pounds. It's okay to pick up 5 pound dumbbells and curl them, because guess what comes after five? You know, the 5 pound dumbbells. Right next to the 5 pound dumbbells is the 10 pound. It's the 15 pound. That's the reason why it goes in a numerical order. There's a reason for that. And you can work your way. Be patient and start from scratch. Start at your fitness level and work your way up.
Right. I want to touch on two things that you mentioned. One is, you know, you mentioned that people are like, oh, wait, you know, wait a few months and then I'll work out with you, you know, or something like that. Really, the only difference between, you know, what an advanced lifter and like a beginner is really time. You're not going to come in like, you know, especially if you want to be a power lifter, right? So if you're like, oh man, you know, Genesis, I want to be a power lifter. You know, I'll train with you in, you know, a few months when I'm closer, or, you know, a couple of years when I'm close to where you're at. Why would you wait? Like, the exercises are the same. Hmm. The only thing that's different is he could do more weight and he may be able to do more sets than you. You know, you don't have the endurance to do, you know, I don't know how many sets he does, but like, let's say he does, you know, 5 or 10 sets per, you know, per lift. Mm-hmm. You know, I may come in, I may only be able to do 3. But that doesn't mean I can't work out with him, or right, we can't alternate turns. Like, the exercises don't change.
Right.
The competition lifts are still bench, deadlift, squat. Like, it's not going to change. Same thing if I'm doing, you know, a powerlifting routine. You know, you can do all the exercises I can do. You might not be able to do as many reps or, you know, as much weight or as many sets, but you could still come in with me, you could still train with me, and we could still get a good workout in together. Might take a little bit longer because we're gonna be changing weights and stuff like that, but mm-hmm, that's fine. I don't, you know, if I have the right time, I don't care.
Right, right.
And the second thing is, when people say they want to get in shape or just get toned, you need to have, like, don't pick a different body image. Like, oh man, you know, I saw Chris Hemsworth in that new, you know, Avengers or whatever, and I want to look like him. Because no matter what you do, you will never look like him. You may get, like, just as big as he is muscle-wise. You may get just as lean as he is, but your body's going to look different. Right. You know, like, your abs, like, some people have, like, picture-perfect abs. Other people you see, like, one's above the other, and they're, like, not, you know, lined up. But there's no exercise you could do to fix that. Like, that's just the genetic makeup of your body.
Right.
Yeah. I got that Morpheus from that second Matrix six-pack, the fat man six-pack.
But, yeah, you know, like, in, you know, you can get your arms bigger, but, like, they may not have a huge peak on them. But they right, look huge, you know, Or, you know, same thing with your triceps. So like, just look at yourself and just like envision yourself a little bit better, you know, each time. Like, don't pick a fitness magazine model to chase after, or Arnold, you know, to chase after. Just be a better you, not, oh, I want to be, you know, I want to look just like Genesis, or I want to look just like, because you're not, like, your genetic makeup.
That's exactly what I said. That's the one thing we hate. We haven't touched. I'm pretty sure we're going to touch, you know, sooner or later. Is we ain't talked about genetics. When you get into genetics, I mean, you know, whole other element that, you know, it plays a role into it. Genetics is serious. You know, blame or thank your parents for that one.
Do you have anything to close with? Any last comments that you would like to give advice for the beginner, or something we missed, or something you want to touch on again?
I just want to say, no matter whatever your fitness level is, beginner, intermediate, we got your spot. I just want, patience is the key. It's just, I mean, we'll probably, I'll probably end that every show just to remember, just be patient in whatever you want to do. There's so many variables at play. That's why we got your spot. And we're going to try to cover all of them. You know, every week we're going to touch on something that you may have not known or heard or thought of. Like, a lot of stuff that I know, they're all things that I've thought about in my head, or their theories. And I do a lot of research. I still research stuff, social media, and I'm not big on social media except for working out stuff, but I'm always saving stuff. There's just so much wealth of information and knowledge out there that you can learn. And I'm average. I'm just some average guy, you know, family, kids, I work, you know, I started at the bottom from scratch, and it just be patient. That's just most important when it comes to lifting in and nutrition, because I am very far from being the most educated person come with nutrition. I'm learning stuff right now today that I, you know, didn't think about far as nutrition, and I'm always looking up stuff and trying to learn. So just be patient and just be willing to put in the research and the hard work.
That's good advice.
And I agree with the patience. Consistency. You have to be consistent.
Right.
Even, and I think I mentioned this last week, but even like a shitty workout routine is better than no workout routine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and for beginners, even if you find something online, that's fine. You know, like something simple, easy, you know, that you can be like, man, I know what this machine is. Or I saw that at my gym. Like, that's fine. Follow it. It's going to be better than going in there not knowing what to do, and it's going to be better than not going. In terms of nutrition, like I said, just small steps. Try not to overwhelm yourself.
Right.
And that's just kind of how I'll end it. Same thing with lifting, just small steps.
To everybody listening, good luck. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
We got your spot.